It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Total Information AM on KMOX with Debbie Monterey. I'm Tom Ackerman. The U.S. Justice Department has charged at least six Hamas leaders with the murders of Americans who were killed in Israel during and after the attack of October 7th. A total of 1,200 people were brutally murdered, while about 140 were taken hostage. Joining us with details, CBS Washington correspondent Scott McFarland. Scott, thank you as always for joining us on KMOX. This isn't a new case. Why was it unsealed now?
Yeah, it was filed in February and unsealed yesterday in the wake of the murder of those hostages and the discovery of those hostages over the weekend. The Department of Justice didn't speak to the timing behind all this, but we know that it was unsealed after the death of one of the three named defendants. There are six Hamas senior leaders named in this U.S. Department of Justice criminal case. Three of them are dead. The other three obviously have not been captured. So this whole case stays in limbo, Tom, until three of the defendants are found, brought to justice, and literally brought to the United States.
Yeah, that was the question I had when I first heard this, is who are they and how do we find them and how do we even prosecute this case? But are these three leaders left, as you said, are they accessible to the American justice system?
Not right now. In an active, fiery war zone, it's not uncommon for the Department of Justice to bring cases against international figures, people who are fugitives or operating outside the United States. It's a statement of values. It's a statement of priorities. It also sets the table for a future prosecution. But I think what it does at this moment is it shows that the Department of Justice is actively part of investigations and prosecutions that involve the war in the Middle East. They have some relevance to this, and I think they wanted to underscore that.
Is there more to come? Are there likely to be more accused?
The Attorney General said not only are there more investigations underway and likely to be more accused, but that they're specifically investigating who killed, who abducted the American citizen who was among the six hostages killed over this weekend, and that more killings, more abductions will lead to more prosecutions. Some of this, again, is in principle, not in practicality, but I think the Department of Justice aspires to actually having some of these people in American courts at some point in the near future.
The death of these six hostages over the weekend has caused quite a firestorm in Israel. They've had some of the largest protests that they've seen, a general strike. Some people are trying to shut things down to convince Prime Minister Netanyahu to agree to a ceasefire. He's kind of doubling down and saying no. What can you tell us about the situation there currently?
Well, there's internal pressure and there's external pressure on Prime Minister Netanyahu. And we brought that question to President Biden earlier this week. Do you think the prime minister is doing enough to secure a ceasefire and to secure hostage releases? His answer was just one word: no. But he didn't elaborate. And there's incredible sensitivities here, political and geopolitical. What Prime Minister Netanyahu said on Monday is that the more criticism he takes about how he's handling his part of this emboldens and gives leverage to Hamas to toe a harder line in their part of the negotiations. So all of this is a uniquely important diplomatic balancing act, and all of that is playing out in real time right now.
This is Scott McFarland, CBS News congressional correspondent. You obviously have a lot of things that you were following. You had an interesting exchange with the White House press secretary about election certification challenges after the upcoming election. What did you ask and what did she say?
We brought that question to the press secretary because President Biden last month in an interview with CBS said he's, quote, not confident at all that it'll be a peaceful post-election in America. That's quite a striking thing to acknowledge and to say. The reason he says that is quite clear. Donald Trump caused all kinds of chaos after the 2020 election and ultimately gave rise to an unprecedented attack on the U.S. Capitol. We asked the press secretary what the White House's concern is and what the White House's plan is to prevent such unrest and such uncertainty. And she expressed what President Biden expressed, that there's deep concern because Donald Trump is again sowing the seeds of unrest and trading in conspiracy theories. But as far as the plan is concerned, nothing was articulated yesterday at the White House for what's being done. Maybe we learn more about that in the coming days and weeks. As an aside, Tom will note that the Attorney General and the FBI Director will address reporters today about some matter involving election security.
Well, you mentioned President Biden not believing that Donald Trump will accept the election results. A new recent poll, just I think last week, two-thirds of Americans don't think Trump would accept election results as well. So that is interesting. We had one more topic we wanted to run past you, Scott, and that is a New York man heading to prison for making threats to congressional offices. Obviously, this is an extremely heated election season. And I guess, and sadly, this is not unprecedented, but what was this man in particular doing?
Well, this case is just bonkers. The guy's name is Adi Lilly. He's from New York. He also spent time in Maryland. According to the Department of Justice, he didn't just make menacing, threatening, harassing phone calls to government officials and Congress. He made 12,000 of them, and some of them included death threats. That type of prolific, threatening behavior ended up landing Lilly a 13-month prison sentence yesterday. He'll serve that time soon. I think, though, what's more important here isn't just that this is a unique, prolific case. It's that overall, it's not a terribly unique dynamic. I mean, these threatening calls and these threatening cases have risen by orders of magnitude in Congress. They had about 3,000 or 4,000 threat investigations in Congress each year about 5 years ago. It's more than doubled last year, and it's on a trajectory to stay that way, and now we're nearing a politically toxic election. This is real-world impact. I mean, we saw what happened when one of those threatening behavior types broke into Nancy Pelosi's house. This has real-world impact, and I think police and prosecutors are taking it seriously.
And I see, Scott, that you tweeted, and I still call it Twitter, in the long-languishing Oath Keepers January 6th case of Thomas Caldwell of Northern Virginia, sentencing is scheduled.
November 18th for one of those Oath Keeper defendants. Yeah, they're still working their way through the courts. It underscores two things. First of all, that there are 1,500 January 6th defendants now. Wrap your mind around that number, some of whom have not yet gone on trial. These cases will go past the next election, potentially past the next inauguration. That's how big January 6th was.
Wow. Well, we always appreciate the time, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Scott McFarland of CBS News, our White House correspondent.
And noted Cardinals fan.
Oh,
he's a big,
did not know that.
Big Cardinals fan.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.